God bless everyone. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. Thank God for everyone here. Amen. All the visitors. Amen. We have the Raber family back there. Glad to have them. And getting a lot of work done over there. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Amen. Let's just stand and sing that song. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. Amen. And as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. And you alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Will you strength, my shield, to you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You're my friend, and you're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are my king. And I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone. Will you alone are my strength, my shield? To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. I want you more, Lord Jesus, and I want you more than gold or silver. Only you can satisfy, and you alone are my real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone, Lord, and you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship. Sing that again, you alone. Oh, well, you alone are my strength, my shield. Hallelujah, to you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. And I long, Lord, and I long to worship thee. And I long to worship thee. And as we gather, may your spirit work within us. And as we gather, may we glorify your name. And knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Oh Lord, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather. Oh, as we gather, may your spirit. Oh, as we gather, may we glorify. Amen. Amen. We'll just sing that song, Bless the Lord, O My Soul. Amen. How many just came to bless the Lord with all your heart? Amen. Amen.
And bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. And oh, my soul worships His holy name. And the sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. And bless the your holy name.
You're rich in love.
And you're rich in love. And you're slow to anger. Your name is great. And your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. And bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. I worship His holy name. I'll sing like never before. Oh my soul. Worship your holy name.
And on that day,
and on that day, when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, oh soon my soul will sing your praise unending.
Bow heads here. Lord, sure do appreciate you, Lord God, once again, Lord, getting us through another week, God, Lord. And Lord, just give us that little energy boost there, Lord, on Wednesday nights, God, where you come to hear your word again, Lord. And Lord, here we gather again on a Sunday, God, Lord, and bringing the best praise we can, God, and Lord, bringing our hearts, Lord, just consecrated, Lord, to you, Lord, and loving you, God, and just knowing, Lord, without you, Lord Jesus, Lord, we're nothing, God, Lord, knowing that, Lord, we didn't have any port in our calling, God, Lord,
yes,
for you
Lord.
Did the choosing, God, Lord,
yes,
and Lord, we thank you for choosing us, God, Lord, this morning to be here, God, Lord, and people say, oh, I want to be a Christian, Lord, and I want to do this and that, Lord, but Lord, you have to call them and choose them to do that first,
yes,
Lord,
Lord,
God, Lord, and Lord, we thank you for choosing us, Lord, we just, Lord, I know on the other side, Lord, we'll understand more about it, Lord, and, but Lord, bless all the saints, Lord, for showing up, God, and Lord, just, may just give them revelation, God, Lord, and what's preached, Lord, today, God, Lord, and
yes,
may it
Lord.
Sink, Lord, from our ears to from our head, Lord, all the way to our hearts, God, and Lord, let us just live it, God, Lord, the best we can, Lord God, and Lord, just bless the musicians, Lord, our song leader, Lord, the congregation, Lord, and be with our minister this morning, God, Lord, we just love you, Lord, bless the tithes and offerings, Lord, have your way in the service.
Fill my way with love, amen. How many just want to walk with that heavenly dove, amen? Never grieve it. Just always keep it as close to you as you possibly can, amen. Amen. Let me walk, blessed Lord.
Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to that land above, giving cheer everywhere.
Special, amen. So praise God for them being here, amen. If they come this time.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of God once again, isn't it? Praise God. I'm so glad to be a part, amen, of the family of the chosen ones. Praise the Lord. I'm glad for it this morning. Good to be here this morning. I bring greetings from Pennsylvania. My pastor there and people there, he said to greet the church this morning. I talked to him a little bit. Amen. But we're just always thankful to be. Amen. I just want to be one thing I found throughout life is I want to be where God wants me to be. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm a song leader back home, worship leader there, one of the worship leaders back home. Amen. But praise the Lord. I mean, sometimes I feel like I shouldn't leave. I need to stay back there for my duties. But praise God, I still want to be where He wants me to be. Praise the Lord. Amen. So this morning we just felt led to stay here overnight. I was really tired last night, so we just felt led to stay. So we just thankful. Amen. Just may this song be a blessing to you. But I know one thing. Amen. It's because He lives. Amen. That's the reason I can be here this morning. Amen. It's because of Him, because of what He did. Praise the Lord. Because if you knew me about 12 years ago, 10 years ago, amen, you wouldn't want to be around me today. Amen. Because I'd have found something else to do on a Sunday morning rather than come to church and worship God. Amen. But I'm so glad for the grace of God this morning. I'm so glad for the mercies of God. They're new every day. Hallelujah. I'm so glad for it this morning. Praise God. Amen. That's why I can stand here and sing praises to Him. I just want to praise Him with all my heart. Praise the Lord. We're going to try this little chorus. God sent His Son, and they called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove that my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all my fear is gone. Because I know He holds my future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the warmth and the joy they bring. Oh, but greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days. Because He lives, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all my fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And then one day, the words of that verse just left me this evening. Let's just sing the chorus again. Sing it with me. Would you stand to your feet this morning? And because He lives, I can face tomorrow.
because he lives, all fear is gone, because I know he holds my future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. Oh, because he lives. I can face tomorrow because he lives. All my fear is gone, because I know he holds my future, and life is worth the living just, oh, because he lives, oh, because he lives. Oh, I can face tomorrow because he lives. All my fear is gone, because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And life is worth the living just because he lives.
Amen. Is your life worth living? Amen. Only because you live, because he went to Calvary and died for you today. Amen. 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 Let's just sing that song, Amazing Grace, I Made It Over. Amen. How many are going to look back at the days like today, the hardships we went through, and you can sing like what Brother Branham said it's going to be. You'll be able to hear him by the top of his lungs singing Amazing Grace. How many else can say the same thing? Amen. That's the only thing that got us there. Amen. God's amazing grace. Amen. It wouldn't be grace if it wasn't amazing. Amen. Amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I made it over. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I made it over, over, hallelujah, over, over. Well, I once was blind, but now I see. I made it over. I once was bound, but now I'm free. I made it over. Sing it over. Hallelujah. Over. Sing it over. Oh, now Christ has chosen me to be his bride. I made it over. And now I'll be forever at his side. Made it over, over, hallelujah, over, sing it over. Seven seals, now the seven seals he revealed to me. I made it over, and now I see my theophany. I made it over. Singing over, hallelujah, over, singing over.
hope. I'm singing Jesus, 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 Jesus. Let's say his name again. Jesus, 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 Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Just sing our song, Burdens Down, Lord, Burdens Down, since I laid my burdens down. Oh, burdens down, Lord, burdens down, Lord. Oh, since I laid my burdens down. Oh, burdens down, Lord. Oh, burdens down, Lord. Since I laid my burdens down. I feel better, and I feel better. Just sing that song, Higher Ground, amen. How many want to go up higher ground today? We don't want to come in like we came in. We want to go out better, amen. Amen. Pressing on the upward way. Though it be a hard battle, I'm still pressing, Lord. Amen.
I'm pressing on.
'cause I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward fast. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay without to rise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abide, my prayer, my aim is higher. Sing it up. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on Him. Joyful sound, the song of faith on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher place than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Want to skip the utmost high, yes, Lord, and catch a glimpse of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I find. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up.
That were able to make it out this morning. I'd like to just spend a moment here and just thank God for all that God's done. Amen. And by the grace of God, we'll kind of take that leading towards the word this morning. But we just like to say, first off, just thank God for the Raber family. Amen. They've come and they've spent actually several days here over the past 2 weeks. Amen. And Brother Andy, he's a machine. When I was on the bucket last night, I'm watching, and Brother Andy's still going. But you know what? I see things through the eyes of the Word. Amen. And I see that God has anointed that for this season, anointed that brother. And he already had 80-some hours in this week when he come. But by the grace of God, just even his wife, she comes, she'll sit in a motel and handle little Silas swimming in the pool or however that works. But you know, it's just a tremendous blessing to see Christianity on that level. Amen? Amen. So when we didn't have the knowledge or the know-how or the how-to, by the grace of God, God anointed people in the bride to come and to really just really help us out a lot. Amen. So I believe that they're worthy of a round of applause. Amen. For their labor of love for God's children. Amen. You know, I certainly see this as God allows, but you know, even as a church, you know, when you send your money somewhere, you're getting credit for what's done with that money, amen? Whatever God does or whoever God could use through the finances you send, that's part of your reward, amen? You sowed into that, amen? And I believe that whatever God even does in this building, does through the work of God here, that there will be a reward that will be given to the Raber family, amen, because they labored, amen, for the work, amen. So thank God for that, and thank God for all those others who are able to chip in. Don't worry if you think it's too late. No, we've got plenty more to do. So by the grace of God, we're just trying to quicken to the work, amen, but we just thank God for what he's allowed. And by the grace of God, we wanted Brother Andy to preach for us, but we're not going to try to embarrass him, but maybe there'll be a day in the future we'll have that. So, but anyway, we just appreciate God just allowing them to be here, amen. It's good to see everyone that's here, even Sister Angie and the boys, amen. God bless them. Good to see them, amen. Good to see Brother Lee, Sister Monica back here, amen. And good to see all the rest that were able to press out, amen. Good to be in the house of God, isn't it? Amen. You know, there's no other place. Remember what the psalmist said. He said, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. So, amen. Praise God for that. Now, let's just stand for the reading of the word. We'll jump right into this. And since we have two services today, we'll try to be as clear and concise as we can and just bring things to a timely close, because we can always finish tonight. And you know how good I am at finishing things. So, by the grace of God, we'll try to think of that as we minister this morning. But when I was coming up here, right when I got about right there, I felt a little presence over there as far as something's up here. Amen. So I feel pretty good right now. And I just want to be in a condition to let God speak. Amen. So how many today would say, I have a need? There's a God here who can answer your need. Amen. There's a God here who can respond to the inner cry of the word seed within you. Amen. So by the grace of God, we'd like to open to Isaiah 64, verse 6. And after that, we're going to go to Jeremiah 29:10. I'm just going to lay a little foundation this morning and see what God will do through this. But there's a lot here. And I'm actually moving a little off the church age. It's kind of the same thought, same idea. And as I've been working, especially with pages 170 through 176, where the prophet actually within the book itself says that there's a message ordained for the word and the bride within that book. Amen. And so we've been dealing with that and been showing you a few things. And on Wednesday, I just happened to get a little bit long-winded, but I'll tell you what, the Spirit of God was pushing, so I was preaching. So I say, God, and just come around and go ahead and do some pushing this morning. Amen. Praise God. So Isaiah 64, verse 6, it says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Uh-oh, sounds like a fallen church. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, I like that. Amen. Say, God, we can't hear from you. You've been quiet, Lord. We don't understand it. But now. O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art potter. And we all are the work of thy hand. Amen. How many be able to say amen? I am the work of your hand. Amen. 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 If you haven't figured that out yet, today is the day you can find that out, all right? But notice here in the ninth verse it says, Be not wroth very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, we beseech thee, we are all thy people. Praise God. Don't you like that? Say, I'm seated right amongst sons and daughters of God. Now, lastly, let's go to Jeremiah 29, verse 10. There's a tremendous amount here, but I'm going to be working with a little avenue of a thought this morning, and it won't be to fulfill the history, but yet just to perhaps lay a little bit of what we've been talking about here and continue it on in the subject here. So in Jeremiah 29:10, it says, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, we thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing here, Lord, within the lives of the people, within, Lord, this community. We understand, God, that you're building something up, God, Lord. And Lord, as I look at it, Lord, I just think how awesome you are, God, because even, Lord, it doesn't matter if it's a low time or a high time or somewhere in between, Lord, we still see you in the midst of it all, God. We still see that our God is alive and well, and that he's able, Lord, to fulfill his word of promise in this day. So, God, as we come before you now humbly, God, I pray, Lord, if there be any sin in the room, blot it from among us, God, and move beside that, God, and allow your Holy Ghost to have preeminence, God. Take control, Lord, of this vessel. Take control of all these vessels, God, and may we be in one unity as a bride moving forward together, God. And God, as the word comes forth, God, whatever you'd like to say, would you please say that, God? I'll just move myself aside, Lord, and you go ahead and do what you have to do, Lord. You're the God of this people. I'm not the pastor. You are the shepherd, Lord. And God, I pray, oh God, you'd certainly, Lord, oh God, give us, oh God, that boost we need to face the trial of this age, God. Certainly, God, as we see Satan on the march, certainly as we see him, oh God, coming against us, greater than ever before, God, raise a standard by your Spirit, Lord. And God, I pray, oh God, you'd certainly, Lord, have your way, Lord. Oh God, we have need to hear from your word, Lord God. Oh God, Lord, we can receive comfort from one another, God, but when we can receive it from the word, God, Lord, that touches a little close to home as well, God. Lord, touch us with your word today. The bride believes that you'll do that, God. I believe you'll do that. Have your way in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If we had a title for this morning's sermon, we'd like to entitle it, "When God Ordains Restoration." Amen. We've, of course, worked with restoration a little bit here and there on different thoughts and different topics. Today we'd like to make a turn into a different topic, but yet still maybe perhaps looking a little bit at Pergamos and just a few thoughts therein. But should God allow us, we'd like to just really just let God speak this morning. Amen. I like it when God controls us. Amen. You know, you look and you see that even when Satan gets a hold of a man, they love that possession. Remember when the maniac of Oregon that come and wanted to beat the pulp out of the face of the prophet would come along, and he would come up there. Well, you see, he was ordained to be at the feet of that prophet. But the prophet was not ordained to cast the devil out of him because he loved that possession that the devil had on him. Now, don't ask me. I'm already moving. I'm already moving in a different direction. But you have to understand that you will be possessed by something. You will be possessed in this day by God or the devil. Amen. And we want to make sure that as the opportunity occurs, that we can actually be possessed by the Holy Spirit in such a way to allow that Holy Ghost to move, that God will indeed, in fact, take control of us. Amen. In so much as that God, He'll make you do what He wants you to do. God will make you say what He needs you to say. It'll be just like we read the other day. It'll be, "Thus saith the Lord," or "The bride set still." Amen. So, of course, that moves us to a place that we have a prophetic insight. But yet, this morning, as we're moving with this thought of when God ordains restoration, we want to understand this morning that God has a time and a season for everything. Amen? We look and we say, "Where's the bride's revival?" Some of you say, "Well, I am the bride's revival." Okay, show me the revival. When I look for revival, I see people who are affected and they can't control being affected, amen? Just by being in the presence of a church, amen? Just by being in the presence of a member of that church would cause them to be moved. Cause them to say, "Whoa, something's happening here," amen? As we understand within the Word that even when the Apostle Paul, when he had traveled to and fro, that God would demonstrate a moving upon his life so much that the people who are in distance of that mouth, within the distance of that vessel, would be moved because he was there. Church, I say, what is that? What was it that caused the people to be moved by one man? I say it was the spirit of revival that was moving within that man. You see, you might say, "Okay, that was an angel, that was a messenger, that was someone from God." Well, church, you are the messenger to this age now. God has took the angel away, and now the move is on for the bride. It's your move. What are you going to do with it? What can you do with it? Now, this becomes very complex when you begin to look at God's restoration, because you find out that when God set this word in motion, there's an ordained time and season for every action and reaction. Everyone has to be in the right spot. Every gift has to be at the right maturity. And every individual has to be at their place with God in the level that it needs to be at. Some might be a Zerubbabel of the group, a leader, a pusher. Others might be a backslid in the group. But they still have their places, and it does not make one greater than the other. Because the thing about the Bible, and what I love about the Bible so much, that when it talks about the body of Jesus Christ, it says, "How can the foot say to the hand, 'I have no need of thee'?" Because we understand that what? That both play an important part within that body, amen? They might not be the neck, they might not be the arm, but if they are in that body, there's a role for them to play. And the body cannot say, "I don't have need of you," because every single one must be in their position to rightly operate. Isn't it amazing that when you would have one toe get a stub on it? Immediately, when the hurt comes to that toe, the whole body is affected. Hallelujah. For us individuals growing a little older, when you find that your back might hurt a little bit, it affects your whole body. You don't really want to pick up that weight like you used to pick up. And it's all because of one or two little vertebrae in here getting out of its place. But who can say that they don't need that little vertebrae? Hallelujah. Because you see, when God ordained the nerve system, He ordained that nerve to pick up when anything was going wrong in that body, that the body would feel it. Hallelujah. I hope I'm not breaking into Brother Randy's future sermon here. But by the grace of God, when Brother Randy a few weeks ago, he got his hand sliced right to the bone. It cut all his tendons. It cut all his nerves. Could not feel it. It was absolutely numb. You know what's amazing about it all? Is he went into emergency surgery, and by the grace of God, they restitched the nerves back together. And the funny thing about it is that the nerves, once they're dead, they are dead. But still, the doctors tied in the old nerves with the new, with the existing nerves, even though they knew no life would be in those nerves ever again. Well, because of technology, they found out that in actually stitching the nerves back together, that the new nerves, when they were cut off, they would still come back. But if they did not have the old nerves there, they wouldn't know where to go, so they'd go the wrong ways. So the actual sensitivity of that hand would literally not be where it's supposed to be. But God ordained science to figure out that if you reattach them, that nerve will actually start shooting through the old nerve casing. And it'll actually follow the old path of the old nerve. So it will go exactly to the place where that old nerve was at. So what? It would show that an honest restoration would happen in the body if you adjust what? Tie in with the old nerve. Now, I'd like you to know that has been a far thought from me from a long time, but today God wants you to know that. I know how God works, church. I haven't thought of that in days and days and weeks. But you have to understand that you are ordained for a rapture, and there's a gift that God has allowed to be there so that you hear what you need when you need it. Well, don't you understand? God left you in Acts Church. He allowed you to what? He allowed you to be caught back with that old church that died way back there. And He's allowing you to move back to the same place where that body went. It didn't matter if it was cut off, because in Joel 2, God said, I will restore. I will restore. What? That means to bring it to its earliest power, to the full strength of what it was meant to be. And that is you, bride. This is your revival. This is your rapture. You are called to make this. It doesn't matter if you feel like you've been severed. What you need to do is be retied. And let the love of God move right back through you to restore you. To restore your sensitivity. To restore the full feeling that was once there. Now, I'm pretty far from my topic, by the grace of God. Not topic, but where I was going. But we understand in Isaiah 64, verse 6. I love this because they use this as a scripture to denote what salvation is. And, of course, Romans 3:23, which is, for all have fallen short. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. But it says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness as filthy rags. And we do all fade as a leaf. Our iniquities like the wind have taken us. And there is none that calleth upon thy name. I love this. Absolutely love this. That stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. Remember, it was the shepherd that called to the sheep, and his sheep heard the voice. But we understand, even with the ordination of the seven church ages, they heard the voice, but they are still falling away. They had a predestinated position in the Word, and they could not move aside from that. That is who they were. But when God still looked at the church ages, He called them the same candlestick. He called them to the same power of God. Now notice, for thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. So notice, when you begin to look in your life, all of us remember our first feelings with God. When God first made a move on our hearts, we couldn't get enough of it. We moved with it. We fought for it. There was such a love that was pushing forth from us. But here we find out that God would actually begin to hide himself from the people because of their sins. Like I said, I'm going somewhere this morning, but I want you to understand this. And that is why I love what's being said here. Because we see it says that he hid his face from us. But if you jump right back to the beginning of the scripture, it says there's none that calleth upon thy name. That stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. So God is hiding from them. But they don't even see the condition of iniquity that has crept in their lives. There's nobody stirring themselves up. There's nobody, what? That are fighting to fall into the placement that God has for them. And because of that, we see them getting took away. So I'm just laying this foundation down because we're going somewhere with this. So notice, I want us to see this as this becomes important. There's none that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. Now, notice this word stirreth. The word stir means to move or to incite to action, to instigate, to prompt. So there's nobody that's bringing forth the correct initiation to make God come on the scene. Well, I ask you, church, how are your efforts proving to bring a rapture revival to you? We just read all those quotes from Spoken Words Original Seed, Church Age book, the other day that said what? When your prophet sowed the word, he said, okay. He said, that means the Spirit is ready to fall. For you who weren't here on Wednesday. Literally, the fact is that because the word was restored in this day by the seventh angel messenger, your prophet was in the lines, I'm recapping, was in the lines to believe that the Spirit was going to fall and a rapture would take place. But what he didn't have so much in his mind was that it would be God. He would restore the word, but there would be an acceptable time for that restored word to hit a people. Just because the word is restored does not mean the people are receiving that word. But there would be a people that would come along and they would receive that kind of word. That word would be ordained especially for them to accept it, to hold it, to become the word. And you say, who is that? Who is that? When it says that he is she and she is him, who is that? What is that? That is the Spirit of God, the husband coming to unite with the bride. They must be one. They must move together. They have to be together. The body must be together. So now, I want to take this to a place long ago and show you a few things here. Back in Jeremiah 29. No, let's first go to Jeremiah 25. We understand that Jeremiah was known as the lamenting prophet, the weeping prophet. Right? He was what? He was one that was called in the midst of a terrible captivity being placed upon the church. But notice here, what did Jeremiah do? When you study the book of Jeremiah, you find Jeremiah constantly giving the people the rebuke to try to bring them to renewal. But the people would constantly reject the renewal from the prophet or from the word. And because they rejected that word, they would be in line for the judgment of that word. I find this to be so interesting because we find that many times, even Jeremiah actually, he'll tell them which way to go so that they will not fall into judgment. He tells the princes, go down to Babylon. Just go right down and you'll be all right. But then they reason amongst themselves and said, no, let's go to Egypt. And when they go to Egypt, they all get killed. But the voice of grace is what I find so amazingly astounding in all this. Because the voice of God would give them grace after grace after grace. And God, he expected them to heed to the word, but they would not do it. And because they would not do it, they fell under the judgment of that word. So, of course, the church begins to get quiet. Brother, this is rough. Brother, I already feel the stripes on my back. Take it easy on me, brother. That's all right. But notice here in Jeremiah 25, verse 7, the Spirit of God comes through Jeremiah, and it says, yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that ye might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. He calls the one destroying the people his servant. Isn't that nice? He couldn't get them to follow him, but he could get Nebuchadnezzar right in the right, in the right anointing. It's amazing, isn't it? God couldn't even get his own people in the right framework of receiving the word. Now notice, he says, and against the inhabitants of the land thereof, and against all the nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, make them an astonishment and a hissing and perpetual desolations. Now, because you did not listen to the word, destruction is on you. It has been pronounced. Continuing on, 10th verse. Moreover, take from them the voice of mirth, The voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, and the sound of the millstones and the light of the candle. Hallelujah. You could run that, but literally, he's taking all the joys away from the people. Meaning what? That the people are no longer happy. When the people within the church are no longer happy, it shows this type of condition is upon them. Why? Because that is why the joy of the Lord is our strength. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Have you ever seen anybody that's completely free? Absolutely miserable. How can you be 100% free and be miserable? You might be naturally free, but if something spiritually has bound you, you'll show it by your lack of smile. You'll show it by your resistance. You'll show it by your actions. Resist who? Resist me? We resist God. You don't think we all fall under this? You don't think Laodicea has took its toll? Praise God. You ready for the jumper shouter yet? Come on, brother. Let me jump. Let me shout. Notice, again, so he says, first, I'll take all of it away from you. No joy. Voice of bridegroom. The light of the candle. The light of the candle. The candle being the word. The light, the revelation of that word. The revealing of the word is gone. Amazing. So he says again, and this whole land shall be a desolation and astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass when the 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity. And the land of the Chaldeans will make it perpetual desolation. So now we're watching a prophecy coming forth. And God says, he says, okay, you've been backslidden so long and you will not repent. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send the king of Babylon, my servant, down to destroy you. All right? And by the time he's in his backslidden condition at the end, he's going to feel the pain of his iniquity too. But notice what he's saying here, that 70 years are called for your life to be under the captivity of man. Okay, so now that we understand that, let's go to Jeremiah 29. Because I'm showing you something here because I want you to show that there is always fall. There always is a fall. With the Acts church, there was a fall from their first love. In this day, how many of us have tasted what the fullness of Acts was in its entirety? Well, we know that there's an ordained season for that. He said, I will restore. There will be a bride. There will be an invincible army. Just talking now. So here in Jeremiah 29, verse 4. Now notice God dictates them to captivity. Okay? You're going at captivity because flat out you just don't want to serve me. But watch grace move on the scene. Verse 4 says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to your husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. Isn't this something? And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof ye shall ye have peace. So God says, I'm going to take you away for 70 years. And then he comes back and says, okay, when you get carried away, don't worry, I'm going to take care of you. I'm not causing you to be in line of the judgment of death, but I'm going to send you there, but you just keep on praying that God will allow you to be established there. He didn't say, fall from my word. He didn't say, take part in their customs. He said, go there and pray for your peace. Serve me there. Doesn't matter if you're in Babylon right now. God ordains peace in Babylon. So picking up here, he says again, in the moving down to the 10th verse, Jeremiah 29:10, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you, as in causing you to return to this place. Oh, I love this. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. So here we see what? We see fall and restoration. But we find out that in between both of them, there is an ordained people that are made to what? To be took away into captivity, but to be established and grow the whole time they are there. And then God says, don't worry, not in the falling away, but in the return is when you're going to find me for all that I am. Well, I pray you're a modern people. In the aspect of God took your prophet away, and God allowed a fall to come. All these doctrines, all these discrepancies, all these distortions of truth. But God would ordain within the captivity a body who would hear the word and be able to follow the word and be able to be established and brought back under the same word. Oh, another one of these. Don't you understand that this is one of the most perplexed studies within the Old Testament? You will find the fall of Jerusalem, and then the rising up again of Jerusalem. Time and time again, but this is one of the most prolific times it happens, in so much the fact that it literally caused Daniel to cry out for the revelation, and God brought the revelation to him. Amen. Daniel was, we see, was under the inspiration of Darius, and we find that all these things were coming back. The 70 years were being accomplished, and this is the main theme of all this that is underwritten within that work. And we look, we say, okay, God, I see 70 weeks. But you're missing the point. There's a revelation to receive the fullness of the word within that restoration. And you have to take that word and become that word. God ordained restoration. Well, you are the fulfillment of restoration. See how it is? We're still not catching the season that we're living in. Doesn't matter if the minister preaches on the Holy Ghost, preaches on restoration. We still sit there. Okay. 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 Uh-oh, did I just make you mad? Don't be mad at me. Better watch out for who's talking to you. They were mad at Jeremiah too. Remember, they kept on throwing him over and over again into the dung pit to eat the bread of sorrows. He tell them, okay, please don't throw me in there. I'm just telling you what God told me to preach. I'm just giving you the word that God ordained for it. Don't get mad at me. Read your scriptures. You're fine. I was like, please don't throw me in there again. Now, notice, if we continue to fall, follow what, let's not continue to fall. Let's go uphill a little bit now. But, so we see that it was ordained to what? To be at the high spot. Now, notice, when Nebuchadnezzar was going to take them away, what was still sitting there? Solomon's temple was still there. The freedom of the people was still there. They just were completely backslid in the place that they were at. Wasn't God's fault. They had the ministry there. They just allowed godly king, or ungodly kings to pull them away. Instead of rising up to take their God-ordained heritage. Just like America. We had our chance. Christians should have rose up. Even now, they say that what? Some 75% of the country still proclaims to be Christian. Sounds like good odds to make this country Christian again. But there ain't no odds because we fell under the delusion of this culture. Can the message say they're any different than that? Oh, I just love baseball. Oh, I just love football. Oh, I just love basketball. Oh, I just love this video on YouTube. Oh, I just love this and I love that. When the Spirit of God said, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Don't be mixers. Be separators. But it's funny. But I like that. And we realize that revival is a total separation from unbelief. And what? That type of an easygoing spirit will actually hold you back from the full power of God. Church, I can preach deep things all day, but I'm not looking to be conformed to a message identity. I'm looking to be conformed to the identity of the Word person himself. Oh, Brother Cam's got a big message church over there. I don't care about having a big message church. I want a little, I'll take a little church as long as it's got a big message within them. You give me a one-man revival and I'll take them. Amen. Because you know what? A one-man revival can quickly become a two-man revival. Remember, just like your prophet said, he said when Billy Graham, he'd come in and get 30,000 converts, come back in a year and don't have 30. But when God would send Paul into an area, he'd be a one-man invasion and there'd be 30 converts in 1 year. Moses, a one-man invasion to Egypt. He'd go in the land and bring 2 million out with him. Sure, it's a mixed multitude. Well, this is going to be a mixed multitude. We have to solidify who we are, know what we are, become this word. So, you see that the law of restoration was beginning to move. God ordained them to fall. 70 years, you're going to be down. 70 years? Well, we got everybody and their brother saying, It's been 50 years since the seals. Been 50 years since the seals. We're all looking at 50 years since the seals instead of saying, okay, why don't I just accept this word? You remember that? You know what they were doing in 2003? I remember. 40 years since the seals. You know what they're doing in 2005? 40 years since the prophet's death. Something's going to happen. Well, we got 50 years now. That's Jubilee. Where's the Jubilee? But notice what people are thinking. People are thinking that God is going to come and turn them away from everything they love. That's what they're literally expecting. When you want God to push you through a pipe, you'll say, God, this is just what I do. Make me a son of God. You're reading the word. The word says don't do it. And you do it anyway. You say, God, push me through a pipe. But I want us to see something here. Because I want you to see what God would try to be telling you this morning. We read in Isaiah 64, he said, none stirreth himself up. There's nobody instigating anything. Who's instigating the rapture? The rapture moving amongst the people here. Well, the rapture started in 63. Okay. Then why hasn't the rapture done anything? But we go home. We say, okay, let's go out to eat. Let's do this. Let's do that. Well, you know, this is part of my life here. I like doing this. I'll skip church once or twice. All right. All right. I can't believe that Brother Cam has preached so many nice sermons and then he's got to come out and do this. That's what I told you on Wednesday night. You should have felt rebuked from that. That God literally made a way of preparation so that your move would be easy. Get that CD if you weren't here. Listen to it. Royalty. But notice, God told Israel, he said, after 70 years, I'll come on the scene. You ain't moving. You ain't doing nothing. I'll come on and inspire a work that needs to be done. So, now we can start to move into maybe a little bit more of a cheery, non-yawning type of fashion. Yes, I see those things. And by the grace of God, we understand that in... Let's move to... Yes. Let me read you this real quick. According to history... Now, there's a lot of different dates for these things. But if you study history, there's actually from the 70 years that God took Israel away and made them captive, there's a literal 70-year fulfillment of that. But there's actually a double fulfillment within that prophecy. And here's what we find out, that actually from the taking away, and I'm moving by histories here, it said in 606 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar pretty much come and made Israel captive. And in 536 B.C., 70 years away, is when God moved them back into their homeland. Okay, I'm going to stop there. This is the first part of the prophecy here. Now, I want you to see this very quickly here. So God begins to move on the world leader at the time. What was his name? Come on, theologians, tell me. Who did God move on? Not even a brave soul. Praise God. We find out in Ezra 1, 1. God moved on to Ezra. Look at this. Ezra 1:1. Oh, you are quiet as church mice today. He says, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, say, who did he stir up? He stirred up the leader of the world in modern history. King Cyrus of Persia. And the scripture says in the second verse, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia. Oh, he must have been moving by something. Thus saith. Oh, isn't that what you want to move by? Don't you want it to be that when it comes out of your mouth is a thus saith the Lord? This is how Cyrus was moved. And the scripture says, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth. And he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Build me a house. God anoints. The scripture says he instigates it with a Gentile king. And the Gentile king, don't you realize this? 70 years were accomplished. And we do not see the stir in Israel. God had to anoint a king, a Gentile king, to move Israel into position. Hallelujah. Don't you understand? That's why your prophet said there'll be a push come. Because it's going to help move you into the fullness of the third pole. Amen. And they are anointed for it. Amen. God called Nebuchadnezzar. He said, my servant. Amen. God comes to Cyrus and says, I charge you Amen. To build me the house. Amen. What'd he say? Build the house. Wait a minute. Build the nation. Build the house. Now there's something uncanny about this. Is that you find that Cyrus was not in the fulfillment of this. He started the work. He moved upon them. So in picking up here, he says in the third verse, who? Is there, who said this, Cyrus, among you of all his people? Who is crying out? Who is among you that's catching the vision just like I'm catching the vision? Rebuilding the temple! This is the ordained work for this season. In this day and in that day. That's why the scripture says that you be established unto a perfect man. Perfect man, can I get it now? So notice, he says again, his God be with him. Wait, let me read that whole thing again. You need to hear this. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him. If your God's not with you, don't worry about it. But if you say you got God and God's with you, this is your message. He says, let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord, God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth Let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold, with goods and with beasts, besides the free will offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Notice. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin. So Judah, remember? When Moses went on the mountain to go get the law, they come back down, build a calf. Aaron built the calf. Moses rebuked them, said, who's on the Lord's side? Aaron jumps on the side. So notice, here we have Judah, also a type of Ephesus, jumping in line behind the word. Continuing, he says, then rose up chief of the fathers of Judah, Benjamin, the priests, and the Levites, with all them whose spirit God had raised. Wait a minute. Who rose up the spirit of Cyrus? God did. Who anointed Israel to go back? Well, the question is, who anointed certain ones of Israel to go back? God did. So God was literally starting a work amongst his people, all by himself, starting it by the hand of a wicked king. Now, go build that house. Very quickly, we find Isaiah 44:26. Isaiah the prophet comes out and he says, that confirmeth the word of his servant and performeth the counsel of his messengers that saith to Jerusalem, thou shalt be inhabited, and to the cities of Judah ye shall be built, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof. That saith to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up thy rivers. That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure. Even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Cyrus, my shepherd. We're talking about restoration. You're not here by chance. You are not here just to sit around, lie around. God is trying to incite and to move something within you. But can you hear that voice? Can you follow that voice? The voice is crying for a rapture. Why? The Spirit and the bride say, come. So continuing here, Isaiah 45:1. The scripture says, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have beholden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of the kings, to open before him the two leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. So God, working his own restoration, his own season, his own time, anoints the people to go back to Jerusalem under the foundation of a king, a Gentile king. Now, here's where I'm kind of wanting to go, if God would deem this pleasurable, because notice here it says, Cyrus, you're my shepherd. Cyrus, you're my anointed. You'll do all my pleasure. Well, this is how restoration works. God anoints a man. And that man takes off running. Catch it. Well, that's the amazing thing about this. Because if you have an ounce of the Spirit of God in you, something is crying for restoration. Something wants to be like the Word says you're supposed to be. Something wants to see what the Word of God says you're supposed to see. Something wants you to act as pure, as undefiled as the Word itself. What is that? It's the cry of restoration in your life. Now, so he's charged to go back. Israel, who of you wants to be in the remaking of this temple? Who is it? One doesn't even raise his hand up. He stays back. I like Babylon. Now, here's where we kind of get to the nitty gritty. So who stirred it up? Who did it? It was God doing it the whole time. They could take the movement of a Gentile king who was not a Jew and move right into position through that. So, here's where things begin to get interesting. Because remember, when did they return to Jerusalem? Remember, 606, and they went back in 536. Now, the interesting thing about this is we find that when Nebuchadnezzar took over Israel in 606, now we'll have scholarly arguments about this. Some say 20, some say 16, some say 15. But they say that when Israel was took away in 606 BC, that it was actually 586 BC when the temple was destroyed. There's a 20-year period before the temple was destroyed. And they say, interestingly as it could be, that they said, when God ordained Cyrus to move the people back into position, they went back in 536. But they said the temple was not completed until 516 BC. So it's 20 years, depending on who you talk to, some say 16, that actually there is a taking away and the restoration thereof. Could you imagine? God ordained a king, sent you back to Israel, and here they went back and they sat there for 20 years and did not rebuild the temple that they were called to rebuild. It didn't matter that God raised up a prophet to what? To tell them it's time. Raised up a king to tell them it's time. God did every single thing for them. And they went back and what? They fell under the pressures of that age. God brought them back all the way and they could not even fight for the restoration of the reason why they were there. God fought to get you a restored word. He sent a prophet that would what? That would make the high places low. Make the low high. He would make the playing field smooth for you to walk through. But we find ourselves 40 years, 50 years. Nothing. God. What are you trying to do? Well, I ask you, what is he trying to do? You say, well, I look and I see this. I look and I see that. But I'm talking about what is the Word trying to tell you to do? Not what you see, but what is this saying to you? Is this telling you that you're not in position? Is this telling you that you're not in a condition for the rapture? Jerusalem's only place of blessing was in the promised land. You can't say there wasn't something moving on the hearts of them when the king said, who wants to go back? And some of them are saying, 70 years is done. It's time. Some of them saying, oh God, I feel so rebuked, God. You told me a prophet would come 70 years ago. And he said after 70 years I'd be going back. And here I am. God had to anoint a king to tell me this. God had to do everything for me. So here they are coming back at 536 B.C. and 516. Now, a temple is rebuilt. Now, notice this. God told them. He told them in Babylon, you go ahead, get married, live amongst the people, be happy, pray for peace. I'm going to take care of you. And now we see that God, he has them back in their land again. And nobody's doing anything. People are like, I'm in the message. God restored me back to the land. Look, God sent the prophet that prophesied this would happen. And here I am. I see the opening of the word right in front of my eyes.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And you're sitting here and you're looking at a land. God spends so many years building the walls, Nehemiah and so forth. God does all these things, but nobody's working on the temple. God, I'm working on all these things around me, God. And everybody's walking by the foundation of the temple. Yep, there, that was where the temple stood. Oh, got to get to my garden today. Oh, got to do this or that. And they walk blindly by the temple. When the whole purpose that God ordained them to go back into the land was to rebuild the temple to begin with. The whole reason why you were ordained to receive a message was not to build churches, was not to go to camps, was not to go to special meetings, but the whole reason the word was restored was to bring you back to the original building of the glory of the temple. Know ye not? Ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Know ye not that the restoration is not to be a big pastor or a big name in the message or this or that, but the reason why you have been restored was that God could make the temple live again. Amen. So here they are. Depending how many years you want to play this. The scripture says in Haggai, let's go there, chapter 1. I'm not going to go through all this, but I want to go through a little bit of this. Remember the purpose you'll find in Haggai 2, that God literally comes out and he says, who remembers what that temple looked like in its first glory? I've preached it, Brother Simon's preached it. But remember that the glory of the latter house would be greater than the former. The purpose was in the returning to the temple again that there'd be a greater power, a greater presence, a greater glory on that temple than the first. But God asked them, he said, don't you remember what that looked like? This is greater. So now we see Israel within the, I believe it's the second year of the reign of Darius. They come out and God's sick and tired of them sitting up around the church, not doing anything, not fulfilling the work. Just doing nothing. just enjoying their lives and doing whatever. Now, how interesting this is to this day. In Haggai 1, verse 2, says, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." So here they are saying, well, you know what the prophet said? It could be 50 years. It could be 100 years. Let's just enjoy what we have here. And God comes on the scene and says, I know what you're saying. You're saying now's not the time. You know how many people I've heard in denomination, let alone the message, say, well, I hope you don't come back in my time. Maybe a few more years, I hope. Even us, we say, well, look, could be in 3 or 4 years. Why is something not quickening and saying now is the time? And God recognized that about them and saying, you're putting off what I'm trying to do. I ordained you back there to build this house. I didn't say it was going to be easy. That is going to be a cakewalk. But don't worry. I ordained this. So notice here, third verse, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? And this house lies waste. The word sealed there actually means paneled. And it's actually a luxury. It's saying that here they are, they've been there for 10 or 14 years, however many you'd like to say, 15, whatever. But they said, here you are, you've come into this land, and you're living in luxury. You've come here, and the whole reason I told you to go here from Cyrus was to build the house of God. But instead of fulfilling this word, now you have found a complacency in Laodicea. You got a nice house. You got this electronic device or this type of luxury. And he said, the house of the Lord sits like this. The house of the Lord sits like this. Go ahead and pull your paint cans out. We got work to do. God rebukes them and says, look what I've done for you. I've brought the restoration here all by myself. The word has been put there, and you didn't even have to do one thing for it. Most of you weren't even born. And here I did. I brought a restoration. But here you are, working on your house when the walls are peeling. Here you are, doing your own thing when the house of the Lord sits like it is. Oh, but brother, you're talking about spiritual. I know. I'm picking up the hint. We're talking about spiritual. I wonder what you'd look like spiritually if we took a look at you. Let alone the paint falling from the walls. But at least you've got a roof over your head. At least you got a new lazy boy. So here, God rebukes him. And he says, the fifth verse, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. well, you know, I could have done that. That's what we all say. We all say, I could have done that. You know what? What are you waiting for with this revival? Are you waiting for the pastor to become the revival? Who are you waiting to become the revival? I know I'm switching gears, ain't I? Please go back to this one. Please go back to this one. Because you'd much rather think about this house than this house. Misery loves company, don't it? Let's talk about this house. You know what I found so funny? We worked here last night till 6 o'clock. And afterwards we went to Captain D's to get a bite to eat. Had to order something for the church. Needs to help with the process. And we go and sit down in Captain D's. And these people walk in, and I kid you not, they were probably the most miserable looking people I've ever seen. And they're probably middle aged, older, but they walk in, and they just walk in. They're walking in. I'm sitting here, what in the world? And then I caught something. I'm like, oh my Lord Jesus. A couple of them, three, four of them, have these tags on them, and it says, "God's word is truth." Oh my. And they walk in. Here's like. I'm like, what in the world? And I look at Brother Dave and I look over and say, I can't read that name, Dad. He says, I can't read it either. I said, that's probably a good thing because I don't think I want to know their religion. And you know what? So I watched them. They walk by. Two of them sit over here, two of them there. A group of four sit over there. And they walk by. They sit down, and I had just had the best seat in the house. I just got to watch them the whole time. And the whole time, I think they said four words to each other. They're sitting here like this. I'm sitting here, I'm looking this, I am sitting here, I'm saying, oh, my Lord Jesus. And then I thought, how are you doing, brother?
Yes, sir.
And all of a sudden, something rose up in me. I said, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Because I was happy, but I was thinking to myself, that's what Christianity looks like. This is the name tag of Christianity. I'm watching people, worldly people walking by, and they're like, having a great time. And I watch the picture of God's word is truth walk in the door. They can't even say a word to each other. I was even staring at them when they were walking by. I was hoping they were going to say something. You want to come to church or something? I was hoping they were going to say, hey, look at this. I gave them every. I said, I was watching. I want to see what's going on. They can't say I wasn't gawking at their name tags. I want to know. But God told me, I feel like God has moved on me. He said, what about you? All of a sudden, I started looking at myself. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, we're supposed to be the picture of restoration. We are supposed to be the poster child for the restoration. And God comes back around. Oh, I got long-winded first service, didn't I? Oh, hallelujah. You know how short-winded I am second service anyway. You'll be all right. But notice, consider your ways. You know what? We walk in the house of God, and you're looking at bricks, and half the wall's peeled off. And we did that 4 years ago. Friday night, I was out with Brother David. We were looking at the brick walls outside. And there ain't no mortar on it, hardly between anything. Brother David's looking over and said, looks like that chimney's about ready to fall down. Yep. And I look over Brother Dave and he's pulling a brick out of the wall. So this is the restoration or the depletion. I'm not saying anything, but what I'm trying to show you is that here we are. This is the work of God. This is what it looks like. Did God ordain you here or not? God ordained the rapers to be here. God stirred up the spirit of people from Pennsylvania. That brother didn't have any time. I know he didn't have any time. Get around for half an hour and watch the phone. Blip, 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 blip. I know. He's having a hard time competing with you, but yeah, he's working in here though. Oh, brother. Call me brother. Have everybody come up here. Hey, Cam. Am I your brother? My pastor? He's a couple. He still call me bishop, right? I'm putting on no daggone hat. Ain't happening. But the whole point of all of it is, where is your heart at? You know, we look in the Bible and it says the house of Stephen is, it says they addicted themselves to the ministry. It was all about the house of God. Addicted themselves to the ministry. They must have been preachers. It said the house. Man, woman, child. The house was addicted to what? To making the house flourish. When they seen lack on the character of the people, they fought. They addicted themselves to know everyone was happy. They addicted themselves. They seen paint falling off the wall. They said, what can I do? They seen people coming in the church. They addicted themselves to the ministry. The ministry is outreach. They went up to them and said, glad to have you here. They addicted themselves. If that visitor could see something, they'd say, boy, this guy really wants me here. You know how many churches I've been to that say, I don't want you here? People come into church, they hide from them. Well, us four no more. Well, if you ain't careful, you will be four before long. Paint's falling off the walls. Things are starting to look a little bad. But we've got sealed houses, though. God ordains restoration. One more. He says in the sixth verse, Haggai 1:6, you'll love this one. He says, you have sown much and bring in little. You've sown so much, but I don't see God working on you. I'm looking at the fruit from your life. I've seen that you're sowing a lot for yourself, for your house, or for this, or for that. But here, the house of God lays. And I ain't coming against people. It doesn't matter if you rent or you got a house or whatever. We're talking about God. Where are you with God? Notice, you've sown much, bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. Well, we'll make sure of that after second service. Brother, don't go long. I got a lot of eating to do at the buffet. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you. It's half off at Goodwill this week. But you still ain't got enough clothes. You know it's the truth. I ain't going at it. Come on. Come on, Goodwill sisters. You're all right. Come on. But you know how it is. My wife, in my eyes, she's a picture of perfection. That woman is a godly woman. I don't care what any of you say. I've watched it. I've seen it. And she puts up with me, so she's all right with me. But you know what? My wife comes home from Goodwill weekend. I said, how much did you spend, honey? Well, she never comes in and says that, though. She says, Colonel, you ought to see what I got. Look at what I got. And she walks in. She looks like Santa Claus carrying these big bags.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Look what I got. She's breaking out ties. She's breaking out shirts. She's pulling little boy's shoes out. She said, look at how this looks on me. She's got it all going on. And I say, how much did you spend, sis? She said, I spent $107 on Goodwill half off week. So I sit here and I say, what in the world are we going to do with these two giant bags of clothes? That's worked out pretty good for me. But how many do I need? So, as any of you Goodwill sisters know, these holidays are special. They're not just special because they're Independence Day. They're special because they're half off days of Goodwill. And here, it's coming time. It's Goodwill's. Goodwill Thursday now. 4th of July is on Thursday. My wife says, I thank God because I'm telling you character about my wife. She comes up, she says, honey, it's Goodwill half off day. Can I go? I said, well, we just spent $107 last holiday. She said, but this might be my last chance. You know it's true. There ain't no garage sales in the wintertime. There ain't money holidays either. This is half off. We gotta go. So I said, you do whatever you want to do. I said, if God leads you, if you feel like going, go. So push comes to shove. The pressure's on Wednesday night after church. After church, wife ain't saying much, and I see her rushing to bed. Right before she goes to bed, she says, I've left everything over there for the kids. I'm going to Goodwill. And she wakes up and she goes. When she comes back, she's got her bags again. She said, honey, I've only spent $50 this time. But we've got enough clothes to last us. I said, praise God. But I'm telling you all that to let you know, this is how we are. And I wouldn't call that a spot on my wife. She's got growing boys. But this is how we get. But we've got to have more and more and more. I've got to have more and more. You think I'm happy with my Simplicity lawnmower? I just looked at a zero-turn Husqvarna at Lowe's yesterday. Mighty nice. But this is how we are. I look at my wife, I say, honey, if I could only have a mudroom. Honey, if I could only extend this out here and put this over there. No, no, no. And the whole time, we're working hours and hours and hours. Brother Freddie, you know how it is to have a garden, brother. Pull out the rock fist, brother. I don't know what that means. They call it the rock of revelation. That's our Christian version. We're running with that one tonight. Mm-hmm. Is it tonight already? It sounds like it. But church, we spend so much time doing everything outside of addicting ourselves to this. To this. And here, the preposition comes from the prophet, from God himself. Says, yep, you've sown, you got nothing. You drink, you're still thirsty. You eat, and you're still hungry. Now here's my favorite. It's coming. I don't know if you already read it. I don't know if you had that part up there. It said, but there is none worth. He that earneth wages, to put it into a bag withhold. You got a nice house. You got all this. But where's all that money you're making going anyway? You know what? There ain't no difference between when I was making $8 an hour and what I'm making now. I'm still spending it. That's what they scientists, these pollsters, whatever, they got all of it figured out. They show that basically almost all the time, it doesn't matter what wage you make, you still spend according to how much you make. There ain't nothing left. Well, come on. Who can bring me a $10,000 bill today? I ain't got $10,000. And you make that much? Ha! When I made $8 an hour and I live with my mom, I still had $12,000 in the bank I saved up. And that was paying rent to my mom. I could save just as well on $8 an hour as I could with what I'm making now. Oh, I just need a better job. Well, you live on ramen noodles for a while. You'll be all right. Huh? Just pray over them. They'll be all right. Just add a little water. You'll be happy. So, in closing, long-winded pastor, here we see you're brought to the confrontation of the day. You fulfill this word. You are sitting here. The word's been restored. But what have you done? How's this temple doing? How's this temple doing? If you're in a position that I'm in, I know this work is ordained. I know just as much as I'm ordained in this bride that this church building is ordained. It has a fulfillment that must be met just like my fulfillment. It grows with me. Or I can just sit back and let things happen as they might. So I ask you, where are you with your temple? You spend too much? You do too much with your time outside of God? God just didn't send the prophet with a rebuke. He tells them next, he said, go to the mountain and get what? Wood. Type of the church. Get it. Build the house. Put the wood in order. And then lastly, oh, I know, brother, you so loud. Haggai 1:13 says, then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people. Wait, a prophet with a message spoke? Saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Oh, brother. Why is so hard? Don't you understand? When God stirs up the people, He stirs them up with the Word. God sent a prophet to stir the people. God is a prophet today stirring His people. But who will heed the Word? Who will become this book? We all say it's me. Okay. Take God's rebuke. Who's crying out saying, God, do the work in me. Everyone's crying out, please stop. I can't handle no more of this. Let's stand. Please let me stand. No, I was really being serious. You did a good job, Sess. Go ahead. She sat back down and went, what did I just do? Don't worry. I ain't saying Laodicea. That was the call of the hour. But what the Lord is trying to say, I really was trying to say, stand up. It's okay. But what is the word saying to you? Is it restore? Is it build the temple? The temple must be built. You must be restored. This must be restored. It's your work. They had excuses back then. We have excuses now. Must God take us in a rapture in a flowery bed of ease when others died for the faith? When others suffered to get this word to us? Where will the restoration be? If it's you, would you just raise your hand? I'm that temple, God. The temple's me. God, if you've identified that you need to be quickened to this word, God, bring me to the call of this hour, God. Lord, you said you'd restore way back there, God, and it's coming down right now. The temple still has not been restored. God, why has the temple not been restored? If that's your heart's desire, say, God, restore me, Lord. Let's just pray. Our most beloved Lord God, we love you, Lord Jesus, and we see the word, Lord. And God, how, Lord, you would draw us to show us, God, that this is a restoration season, God, that this is the mix of Laodicea. Oh God, the same Laodicea that tried to stop the glory of that temple being restored, but God, you said you, oh God, would let it be in a greater glory than the first temple, God. There's a prophecy, God, this day that this house, God, this church, God, this body would be restored, God. Be an invincible army, God. Stand with the word of God. Would be so much like the word. They'd be the word themselves. God, restore these vessels, God. Take charge, Lord God. Bring us to a place that you can stir us up, God. The word is ringing, God. Could you stir us today, God? Lord, oh God, the move is on, God. Could we be part of that move, God? Lord Jesus, you've blessed abundantly and shown, Lord, how people will travel great distances, God, to help us, God, when we won't even help ourselves. God, make this important to us, God. Make, oh God, these spiritual temples, this natural temple, God, may it be, oh God, to a place that we can allow you to fulfill the work. God, give us strength, Lord. Let us not wait for everyone else to call on us, God, but may we feel the stirring of the Spirit individually, God. And quicken to the work. God, we have need of thee. Give us a push, we pray, God. Lord, we don't want you to push us all the way, Lord, but stir us up, God. We have need of you, Lord. We just pray that you'd anoint us for the glory in Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. Amen. I know we've been a little long. If you have need of prayer, we'd be happy to pray with you today. But I pray, don't let this word fall on dull ears. It's time to get out of Laodicea. It's time to say, okay, it is the rapture season. Don't let living waters be passed by. Don't let God do this work in someone else. Let him stir you up. The word come from the shepherd, Cyrus, and it stirred him up. Where's the word stirring you up today? God, help me. Let's just sing that song, The More That I Surrender. That's what it is. Got sealed houses, got a lot of food, got a lot of all sorts of blessings. But God doesn't say he took them away from the sealed houses. Doesn't say he took them away from blessings. He just changed their priority to be the temple. God, change our priorities. The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. More than I release my cares, the more you take control.
I know you're drawing me to yourself. call me into your
healing. Thank you, Lord.
Your Holy Spirit teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my life through your. I'm captured by, Lord, I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart, Lord, I know you're drawing me to yourself. Just lead me, Lord, I pray. Just take me, Lord, take me. Just use me, oh, fill me, Lord God. Oh, yes, I give my life to the potter's hand. Take me, oh, take me. Just mold me, oh, use me. Give my life to the potter's hand. Oh, just call me. Oh, and guide me. Oh, lead me. Walk beside me. I give my life to the potter's hand.
Wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your hand, crafted into your perfect plan. And you gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my life through your eyes. And I'm captured by your holy call.
some. This is your house. This is your house, Father, come and dwell. Cause this is your house, a holy house of prayer, where the lost and the lonely bring their burdens and their cares. This is your house. This is your house. Come and dwell. Cause this is your house. Father, come and dwell. This is your house. A holy house of prayer, where the lost and the lonely, they bring their burdens and their cares. This is your house. This is your house. Come and dwell. One more time. Oh, cause this is your house. Father, come and dwell. This is your house. A holy house of prayer, where the lost and the lonely, they bring their burdens and their cares. This is your house. This is your house. Come and dwell.
Amen. Is that your desire today? Amen. That he would come and dwell. Amen. Amen. We'll just sing that song. Amen. Lord, I believe in you. Amen. If you need to be dismissed, you can be.
Lord, I believe in you. I'll always believe in you. And though I can't see you with my eyes, oh, deep in my heart, your presence. Just let